And so we're going to jump, like I said, right into the word. We're continuing Jesus, but I titled this The Servant. Can I tell you something? If you don't have a servant's heart, it makes me question whether or not you truly know the Lord. If it's all about you, oh my goodness, we have got to get away. The church has got to get away of an error of looking about us for us. And that, I mean, that is an error like no other. I understand I'm all about prosperity, all about doing well, all about seeing the blessings of God in our life, but we better understand what they're for. And we also better, because see, with the mentality all about us, we've gotten away from when things get uncomfortable. When things get uncomfortable, we haven't liked it and we run the other way because this must not be the Lord. Yeah, because Jesus never went through any uncomfortable situations in his entire life. But can I tell you something like this? When your perspective changes, do you realize two people can go through the same situation? One have a perspective in one way and one have a perspective in the other. They've experienced the same things, but they went in the different direction with their mentality and their mindset. I love this. I saw this on my wife's page. I actually follow her on Facebook. And so I saw this and I loved her post, and I can't remember who she quoted, but she put in there, one person can look at a rose and one can complain about the thorns and the other can be excited that the thorns have a beautiful flower. And it's not exactly that way, but you get my point. One person will focus on the thorn. The other one will look at the flower, the smell, and they'll focus on the good parts of it. And I'll tell you something. I remember going through a hard time and somebody else that went through, and they just basically said, hey, that was a hard time that you went through. And I'm like, oh, really? I guess it really was. I really didn't look at it that way. This is all I've known. I'm just going through and I'm focusing on a different way. Somebody can focus on all the uncomfortable. And I'm not saying you're never going to notice the uncomfortableness. You're going to notice. There's times I've gone through things that have been very, very uncomfortable, and I noticed it. And I had to make a solid decision. I had to make a decision not to focus on the uncomfortable. And let me just say this. I really feel this by the Spirit of the Lord to share this. And I don't know if I've ever shared this in church ever in my life. I think I've shared this personally with people, but I don't think I've ever shared this publicly. There was a time in my life in my early 20s, and I was living here in Wisconsin, and I remember calling my mother, and I asked her, I said, Mom, do you ever deal with depression? Do you ever deal with depression? And my mother paused for what seemed like a long time. It seemed like a long pause, but I'm sure it wasn't as long as I thought it was. And she just so calmly asked, why do you ask? And I remember saying, well, Mom, I find myself where I see a cycle and all I want to do is stay inside and clean, which my wife would love for me to go through that cycle right now. But I would just stay inside and I would clean, but it would almost get to a point that now when I think back to it, it's a little, scary, because I would, and this was my mentality. I would vacuum and then I would realize, oh, I stirred up a lot of dust. So then I would wipe everything down. And then after I wiped everything down, I just realized, well, I put all that dust on the floor. I better vacuum again. And then it was an endless cycle of vacuuming and scrubbing and vacuuming and scrubbing. And really it came to my mind, because this was all normal, because when you're going through it, it is normal. It's normal to you. And so when I was going through it, I remember a friend asked me out to go watch a movie or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And I told him, no, I can't. I got to clean my apartment. And the person asked me, how dirty is your apartment? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they said, well, I've asked you to go do things for like 2 months. And every time you've turned me down because you've got to clean. How dirty are you? How much of a filthy pig? They didn't say that, but that was what was going through my mind. How much of a filthy pig are you? And I thought about it. I'm like, really, my house, my apartment's immaculate. It is clean. And I just realized, yeah, you know what? Yeah. Okay. No, we're going to go watch a movie. And so I went to watch a movie, and I made a pact on the inside. I'm not cleaning except, like dishes and stuff for a solid 3 months. I'm not touching nothing. That's disgusting. Don't worry. I had someone else do it. I swapped off. I cooked two people a good home-cooked meal, and they would clean my apartment once a week. I thought that was a good trade, right? And so in this, I noticed there was a problem. I fixed it. I no longer deal with that problem. I'm on the other spectrum of that problem, that I look around and see the mess, and I'm okay living in it. This is fine. Dishes. I'm still not okay with dishes sitting in the sink for a long period of time. But other than that, I'm pretty much all right. I can look at it and be like, this is good. We're good. But I saw something happening in my life, and I remember going to my mom and just asking her. And this was her statement to me. She said, son, in our lives, She said, no one would ever deal or think that people like us. And what she means by that is high strung, very loud. And when we run 100 mile an hour, excited about everything, she said, you know, you would think that people like us would never deal with depression, but we do. And she said, I begin to notice cycles where I would get really, really down. I'd have really high highs, but I'd have really, really low lows. And she told me, she said, I had to start making decisions. Now, look, this doesn't work for everybody because there are real chemical imbalances that need, and so I don't want to generalize this and say everybody needs to do it this way. You need to be led by the Lord. Hello? Okay, I'm so glad the head shakes. Nobody on the podcast can hear you when you just shake your heads. All of this, my mother said, begin to notice it. And she said, I force myself out. I force myself to leave. I force myself to take walks when all I want to do is sit down, be alone, and eat junk food and sit on the couch and watch TV and isolate myself. I force myself. I have to make a conscious decision to force myself to get up and do something. And so I had to start doing that. Now, thankfully, I feel like I have made it a long way and I don't deal with that anymore like I used to. But I just want to say this morning, you're going to have to change your perspective a lot of times. And there's going to be things that you're going to have to face that you're going to have to choose to look at the positive instead of the negative. And it's going to feel like you're lying to yourself. It's going to feel like you're denying reality. It's going to feel like you are lying to other people. It's going to feel like you are full of junk and this is not real. Let me tell you something. To get a result that you have never had, you're going to have to do something you have never done. So you can sit in the same mess you have always been in, or you can get up and begin to do something different. Now, I'm not saying thank you for the one person that's excited over here. I will come preach on this side until we get other people that are excited. Then I will go visit you too. Some people are scared of me visiting, so they're not going to say anything. But in all of this, I just want to tell you that if you are facing depression and there is medicine and medication that you want, I want to encourage you to let's believe God that one day you'll be off of that. It will not be the rest of your life. I'm not telling you to get rid of it. I'm telling you, let's get to a point where we get free and God's power is working on the inside of us and setting us free from the junk that has so enchained and got on us. Let's walk free of this mess and be determined that we can walk in complete health and healing mentally, physically, every area of our lives. Emotionally, we are healed. Physically, we are healed. Spiritually, we are healed from bad things that have happened to us in the past, that we are freed from our past. The past no longer holds me. I'm not telling you to forget where you come from because your past will help other people in your future. You are set up. God has going to use what was meant to destroy you, what was meant to kill you, what was meant to bury you. See, the enemy would have never buried you if he knew the word of God was planted on the inside of you, that all you are is a seed. So all that junk that was meant to destroy and kill you, all of a sudden you begin to grow right through the concrete. You begin to grow right through. Have you ever been on the road or maybe a walking trail that was asphalt and all of a sudden see a plant growing up right in the middle? Concrete could not keep a plant down. Concrete could not keep a seed from growing. I'm going to tell you something. The enemy would have never covered you if he knew you were going to grow. See, what he's hoping for is that you give up. You see no sunlight. You see nothing shining. And that you just sit down with all the other seeds and die. But what he doesn't understand is you've had the water of the Holy Spirit, the water of the Word, rush over your soul, rush over your heart. And it has caused something to come alive that even asphalt from the enemy can't stop it from growing. Oh my good Lord Jesus. And so what you're going to do is what the enemy meant to destroy you, you will reverse it. God will allow it to be reversed. That situation that should have killed you, you'll stand up and point back to it, to somebody else who is dealing with it, and be able to tell them, see, this should have, I've been in the same place. I've experienced the same problems. It should have killed me. It should have taken me out. It should have destroyed me emotionally. I should have been arrested in all my development. I should have never went any further. But what the devil meant to destroy you, God will change it to bless not only you, but cause other people to get out of the same mess The same mess that you got out of. I remember walking down one of those walking or running trails. For me, they're walking trails. For other people, they're running trails. And not only did one of the plants pop up, but there were a whole lot of them growing right in the crack. Because see, the first one cracked it. The first one broke through, and it caused just enough of water to flow over the other seeds that were down there. And those seeds that would have died begin to grow because there was one seed that busted through in the beginning. And so there's a lot of you that may be the first in your family. They may be the first in your neighborhood. You may be the first in your workplace. But you will cause the Spirit of God to flow over dead seeds and cause what was dead, dry bones, to rise up and step into their destiny. Oh my goodness. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 16. Because let me tell you something, a servant is not interested. Let me rephrase that. A servant's decision making is not dependent upon their own comfort. Oh, hello. Now, I understand that in our day and age, that may seem to be, you know, wrong. It may seem to be everything depends on the employee. But, you know, back in the day, you were told to do a job, you did the job. I remember my father would tell me to do something. I remember one time just telling my dad, I don't want to. And my father began to laugh hysterically. Head toward the sky, laughing, just barrel laughing. I mean, just deep, deep laughing. And when he was done, his head kind of rolled down. His eyes got real big and a real scary look. And he just looked at me and stopped laughing. He says, what's funny is you thought I asked you. I told you. See, you're getting confused between asking and telling. I didn't ask you if you wanted to. I told you to do. Servants. Oh, one father got it. One father. Yes, Pastor. Preach that, Pastor. That's good news, Pastor. Yes. Ah! They in the children's church. Play this back for me. It'll be on podcast. You can blame me. Now, see, a servant is not interested in his own comfort. Let me rephrase that. He is interested in his own comfort, but when he's told to do something, his own comfort does not matter. It does not matter. I will tell you, I remember volunteering, not even paid, right? Volunteering for a ministry, won't mention it, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they told me, they said, do you know anything about fixing toilets? I mean, like, no, but I could try. And they said, all right, we got a toilet that's broken. Fix it. Go in there and fix it. So, you know, I go in there, I hit, you know, and nothing happens. And I'm starting to look, and I play, and I'm like, oh, it's got to be the device inside. Let's change that. And so I go and I buy a new one, and I begin to fix it. And I did something wrong. I didn't realize. First of all, messing around with toilets is not a whole lot of fun, right? It's not a whole lot of fun. And so, no, I did turn the water off. I did everything right. But once I hooked everything back up the way it was supposed to, and I use that loosely, the way it was supposed to, I put it all back together. I turn the water back on. I flush. I left something off that was supposed to be there, and water begins to squirt everywhere. I'm soaked. It hits in my mouth. I'm spitting, and I know it's not contaminated. I know it was, but still, the idea of toilet water shooting right in your mouth is enough to make you almost want everything to come out that was in. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then I'm doing the whole hands in front of where the water is squirting to try to get it not to squirt me in the face and the mouth again. I'm soaked. And can I tell you, if you're not a servant, if you're not going to get the job done, it would be easy to say, I'm done. Somebody else deal with this. This ain't my toilet. I don't own the building. I'm just volunteering. You're lucky that I even did this. I didn't want to do this from the beginning. It ain't my problem now. It's your problem. But I did the job, I finished it, and in the end, now, can I tell you, since that time, I learned something that I've replaced three of my own because I learned it there. And I did so successfully, and I never drank toilet water again. And so, my point is a servant, even though it may be uncomfortable for them, will do the job that is set before them because they recognize it's not about them. And can I tell you something? In the body of Christ, you have a lot of titles. You have the title title of a king. You have the title of a priest. You have the title of a shepherd. You have the title of a son and a daughter of God. You have a lot of really good titles. But if you do not filter that title through one of the titles God calls you, which is a servant of all, you will let all that go to your head, and you will stand head and shoulders above everyone else and expect things to be done for you instead of you doing for others. And I believe there's a sector of the body of Christ that made it there, where they expect everything to be done for them. And can I tell you something? I just want to put this out there right now. We're going to have speakers that preach a message and disagree with each other. I'll give you a classic case. My lovely wife pointed this out to me. I believe it was yesterday. We had one guest minister talk about how he, you know, believe in God, and then all the green lights. He had to get somewhere. And I'm not saying God won't ever do that for people, but green lights coming up on everyone. And then we have another guest minister that will talk about how, well, if your light's always green, that means somebody else's is always red. So what are you preferring? Are you preferring God's blessing just to get you somewhere very fast, or would you prefer somebody else? Or how about this? Rock star parking right up front, which I'm always thankful when I get that. But sometimes if you are in hot, I always look for one with shade. Where's the tree? And so in this, if you get the front parking, someone gets the back parking. What are we thinking about? Is it always about us? And I'm not saying it can't be about you and the blessing not coming to you, but the perspective has to change of why you even get the blessing, because it's not for you. Can you imagine Jesus? Jesus, who was at the head of the ladder, he couldn't climb any higher. He was at the top of the ladder. He was God, not only of heaven and earth, but he was in heaven. He had every godly thing functioning for him. He looks at humanity and has to climb down the ladder, makes the decision to climb down the ladder, to give up everything that he has come accustomed to having as God, maker of heaven and earth. He climbs down the ladder. And he gets in a human form, in flesh and blood. He gets in flesh and blood so that he can relate to us with every pain, every trial, every tribulation that we have gone through. The Father says that Jesus went through it. It may be a different way, but it is the same root. It is the same problem. And he had to face them all, but he climbed down to do it. I mean, as God, the Son, he never had to face people trying to kill him, throwing him off a ledge. How many of you have experienced that this week at work? Anyone? You know, they just got together and said, let's go throw this person off the bluffs in the Dales. Let's take them there, picnic, and then tell them to look over the side, and then we will push them. Some of you may have, maybe figuratively experienced that this week, but I don't believe anyone has physically experienced that week. Jesus, it wasn't figuratively. They really tried to throw him off a cliff and kill him. And Jesus did not say, God, this is not fair. I don't like this. I'm going to go back to heaven. I'm going to ascend back into heaven, and I'm going to kill these people, and then I will come back down in the flesh. He could have done anything he wanted. Get this. This is also amazing to me. Because have you ever thought about, I know I'm probably the only forgive me. I know that I'm probably the only person, because I've said this and people look at me like I'm crazy. But have you ever thought about if you were God? Has anybody ever thought about what they would do if they were God? Yeah, some of you, most of you are saying no. I can't believe that I'm the only person. I think about it not all the time, but less now than I did when I was younger. Because you know how people see Jesus and things? I would show up everywhere. I would show up everywhere. Toast, eggs, ribs, it didn't matter. I would show up. Yeah, I would just show up, especially bacon. I would just show up, my face everywhere. I'd put it in a door. I'd put it in a card. People would have a little fender bender, and my face would be there. I think that would be awesome. I really do. I would talk to people and not let other people hear me. You know how you see the people on the side say, no, I'm not doing that. And they're yelling at themselves. That would be me speaking to them. And enjoying the fact that they look crazy in front of everyone else. I'm like, this is hilarious. Be like, God the Father, we're the only one that can hear this besides him. This is great. I would show up at night, just beams of light, come in. Say something that was not profound. I would say something that would make you think for the rest of your life that has no point whatsoever. Just make up some weird phrase and have them think forever. I just think that's hilarious. Now, I know that y'all don't think like that, but I do. I think about if I was God. First of all, I would not have went through the pain. I can't imagine going through what Jesus went through. But can I tell you something? We should be willing to put ourselves at a place where we are servant to others. Jesus knew he had all the power. Jesus knew who he was, and yet he still washed the feet of his disciples. There's not much in our society that can go to washing feet. Now, we think of the Middle East. Think of the Middle East. This is where this was. What did they, when President Bush was having a conference, what did they throw at him? What did shoes? Why? Because it was the biggest form of insult you could do. It was the nasty, your feet, the open shoes. It's just, okay, when Saddam Hussein fell and his statue came down and they were dragging the statues, what did the locals do? They took off their shoes, they ran behind, and they were smacking the statue with the shoe. What did that represent? The shoe, the bottom of the foot, was the dirtiest of the dirtiest. It was the most unclean thing. And they were portraying this, the biggest insult you could do was the bottom of the feet. I heard a missionary one time talk about in the Middle East, he was going to buy a generator. And he bumped the generator with his foot and said, I'll take that one. The man kicked him out of his store and told him, never come back. Why? Because the bottom of the foot was an insult. And him bumping the machine with his foot was an insult to the whole store. And so we don't think about it in that manner. But Jesus put himself down to wash, to insult, to lower himself. Not just naturally. But I mean, most of us can think and most of us can agree that other people's feet are dirty and nasty and we don't want to touch them. But it was beyond that with Jesus. It was beyond that. He was taking what was the biggest insult to mankind, the area, the community that he knew, and he was lowering himself. They knew he was the Son of God, and he's saying, I am the Son of God. Yes, I hold this this title. Yes, I was from heaven. Yes, I created you with a purpose, but at this moment, I am beneath you. Jesus lowered himself from the standard and everything he could have to show others that he was here to serve them. This is missing in the body of Christ in the United States. As a whole, this is missing. And I believe the reason it's missing is our perspective. Yes, you are a child of God. Yes, you are King of Kings, of the Lord Most High. You serve the King of Kings. You are a king. You are a priest. But your greatest title, besides Son of God, is Servant of All. We are here to serve. Well, that's uncomfortable. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, I don't feel like it. I'm sure Jesus didn't either. Actually, we know he didn't. He actually went before the Father. And he said, God, if this cup can pass, let me put it in modern day English. God, if we can accomplish this, Daddy, if we can accomplish this in any other way, let's do it. Let's find another way if we can. But God, Daddy, my will doesn't matter compared to yours. I will choose your will over what I want to do any day of the week. My father, I remember he would take time to teach me what it was to be a man, right? And I remember my dad several times. This is not all in one day. This is several days, several years of just constant giving me, I always called it his nuggets, his little golden nuggets. He would drop words of truth that were always amazing. And I strive to be as good at it with my girls as he was with me. And I remember him telling me, boys will take their toys and go home when they don't like the outcome or they see they're losing. He says, you know, people will always talk. He says, in our community, people, men will stand up and say, I'm a man, and this is mine, and this is how I must be treated. And he would tell me, son, that's what little boys do. Little boys stand up and demand to be treated like a man. He says, you can always see a boy because they'll stand up and demand their rights and tell you how you will treat them and you will honor them. He said, a man is a man who serves. A man is a man who looks at his wife and his kids and will put his own needs second to theirs. He said, a man will take care of not only his family, but his also his fellowship, those who he calls friend. He will stand up and he will do even when it's hard. A man will give his word, and even if it costs him in the long run, he'll keep it. Even when it's not fun. That's a man. A boy will take his toys and run home. A boy will talk bad about other people because it makes him look good. Now, I didn't realize this till later. Now, I'm sure my father, my grandfather taught my father, his grandfather taught his, my great-grandfather, and it just kept on going. But it's all based out of the Word. It's all based out of Jesus saying, we must be servants of all. And demonstrated by Jesus. Can I tell you something? You want to know what it is to be a man? Television will never tell you. The commercials will never show you. You know, we had this mentality, and culture amplifies it. A man is a man who goes around and gets whatever he can from whoever he can, and it's another notch on his belt. Can I tell you something? A man will consider the well-being of others before he does himself. I can't tell you how many times my father saw somebody broke down, pulls over, and helps. How many times we were late for an event because he changed somebody's tire because he knew how and they didn't. A man puts other people's needs above his own. I ain't telling you you ain't ever going to get a maple bacon donut. You should have one every once in a while. You know? But you'll be led by the Spirit. And you'll take on the mentality of Jesus. And you will become a servant of others. Have we gone to Scripture yet? Where did I tell you to go? Acts 16 and verse 35. Are you ready? But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, condemned, being Romans. Let me tell you what's happening here. Paul is a Roman citizen. Do you know Paul, during Jesus' day, there was such great racism. Racism's not new. Racism's been around forever. It's been around forever. And Jesus was not exempt from racism because he was a Jew. And the Romans were in charge. And Romans got rights that you, that were not a Roman, did not get. If you got in a fender bender and the Roman was at fault, you were at fault if you were not a Roman citizen. If you were a country that was taken over, let's just say Milwaukee and Madison got in a fight. And we were at war with each other. If Milwaukee won, we would not have the rights that they had. If we are talking, comparing it to the Rome and the Jewish nation. If somebody was visiting, first of all, they would put their own power. They would kick out everybody we had in office, normally kill them, crush them openly. Normally, the Romans would put have a big display, getting a little whatever here, but it's Father's Day. They would put their foot on the neck of their enemy and crush it in front of everyone to let them see, we now own you. We own this city. And so if something happened, and let's just say at a restaurant, and somebody from Milwaukee was upset with somebody from Madison, let's say that they didn't like the food or whatever, they could call the police and have rights that me and you would not have. We could be thrown in jail unjustly. And that's what would happen to the Jews or any nation that Rome conquered. If a Roman citizen came in, you didn't need or have any rights. You didn't have the right to a fair trial. You didn't have any of these things. Your rights went away, and the rights of the Roman were at hand. Now, Paul got arrested. And we know Paul is a Roman citizen. He's a Roman citizen, but can I tell you something? He didn't tell him. He did not use his birthrights. He didn't use them, which is very interesting, because I'm going to tell you, I've had trouble in foreign countries as missionaries and some things. And my first statement, and this is what I was trained to do. My first statement was, I'm an American citizen. I demand to speak to the United States Embassy. And they would ask me a question. And I would say, I'm an American citizen. I demand to speak to the United States Embassy. And they would ask me another question. And one time, it was over 2 days. Solid questioning. Solid talking to me. And I kept solidly saying, I'm an American citizen. I demand to speak to the United States Embassy. Why? Because I had rights as an American in a foreign country. And they had agreements with my nation that they could not harm me and they could not wrongly prosecute me. And I had the same rights as an American I did on foreign grounds. And Paul, as a Roman, had those rights in this city, and he did not use them. He did not say, I'm a Roman citizen. I demand to speak to the Roman Senate, or whatever he would have to speak to. He didn't say that. But now he's arrested. He's in jail. And then he brings it up. Hey, y'all beating me? See, I would have said it when they came out with the cane. Even if I would have thought, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to go through this. I'll get to the other side. The moment they brought out a cane, I'd be like, oh, American citizen, demand to speak to the United States Embassy. But Paul got beaten, thrown in prison. And he starts to tell them, y'all have condemned me and being Romans. And they have cast us into prison. And now they do thrust us. Now get this. He continues with all this. And when basically what happens is he tells them, go tell your bosses, I'm a Roman. And so they did. They went and told the higher ups, hey, this guy we have in prison, this guy we beaten, he's a Roman. So they become very afraid because they just treated a Roman citizen in a manner they could not treat him. That was penalty of death. If you did this. But why did Paul do this? I believe Paul. Now, Paul is serving another city. And what he's doing is he is refusing to use his birthright to promote himself over others. See, he's preaching a gospel that the government is against. And so he's telling the people he's with, look, I'm like you. I'm willing to go through the same pain, the same trials, the same tribulations you're going. I'm not going to use my birthright to get out of something. I am with you. I am one of you. I may have been born on the right or the wrong side of tracks. When you give your life to Jesus, those tracks don't matter anymore. You are one and equal with us all. There is none of us that are above and none of us that is beneath. We are servants of all. We are from the same family. And Paul here is showing. But can I show you something else? Philippians 2 and 7. It says, but made himself of no reputation. Who are we talking about here? Jesus, and took unto him the form of a servant that was made in his likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Paul did not demand his rights, and neither did Jesus. If anybody could have demanded his rights, it should have been the Son of God. He didn't walk in here in earth form. Can you imagine as a baby? Because this is what I would think of if I was God. I know y'all don't think like this. But if I was God, I would have been born talking. I would have been born. I would have walked immediately as a baby. And I would have had a crown that probably came out with me. And the moment I was born, I would have been fully clothed in the nicest robes, put on my crown and said, listen up, all of you. Mary, son of God. Angel already talked to you about it. Joseph, son of God. Thank you. Yes. Please stay bowed. No, don't get up. Don't get up. Stay bowed. Thank you. Oh, now listen, there's going to be, I just want you to understand, there's going to be the wise men. They're coming. They're a little slow. I don't know why they got the message late. But they're going to be bringing me some gold. Joseph, that's not yours. It's mine. It's mine. I don't want you touching it. It's mine. You can ask. I will own it. But it's mine. It's mine. Don't touch it. And so I will just do as I please. Please, until they get here. Make me as comfortable as you can. They're like, I love ice cream and pecan pie. Please, somebody go make that right now. I'm hungry. And so, I mean, come on. He could have done that. He could have been God the moment he was born, and you wouldn't have needed faith. He could have told everybody. He could have shown the world he was the Son of God and not relieve any doubt. But he chose what? To overcome as a man so that we could overcome as humankind. Because if he would not have come as a man, we could have said, oh, of course he had victory. He was God the whole time. But we're able to say he had flesh and blood. He overcame with no special power given unto him. He overcame as a man. He's endowed us with the same power. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we can overcome because we are of the same blood. Jesus never... He never lifted himself up above us. If anything, he said, I am you. Just like Paul, who got beaten. Jesus could have escaped that. Even the scripture said he could. He could have called a legion of angels. He could have called angels to save him instantly. And he did not. As Paul. Paul, where do you think he was inspired from? He was inspired by Jesus. Paul could have escaped being beaten and thrown into prison. But he didn't because of his example of not using his birthright to exalt himself, but to use it to be a servant of all. And I'm not saying you're not going to have blessings because of your birthright. You will. But we never use our freedom to offend the brethren. If we can look for a point to use it to serve, we do. And there will be situations we come in that are uncomfortable. How will we look at it? Will we look at it and say it's time to cut and run? Or will we look at it and say it's time to serve my brothers and sisters? It is time to serve those who know Christ, and it's time to serve those who don't. Will you use your privilege? Will you use your blessing just about you? Or will you be like Christ? Will you be like a disciple of Jesus and use your blessing to serve others? Jesus was at the top of the ladder, and he climbed down. Oh, Jesus showed us. He redefined statutes. He redefined everything. At this time, everybody used their birthright to get ahead. Everybody used their privilege to get ahead. And Jesus said, I use my privilege to serve. This morning, we know the promises that are in him, yes, and in him, amen. There's many promises that we stand on, and I'm telling you, stand on them. Claim them. Sit at the table that God has prepared and eat. But invite your enemy to the table. Invite your heart is not so the enemy is crushed and destroyed. Your heart is so the enemy comes up to the table and begins to eat as good as you do. Your thought process, your mentality is not that others can look at you and see how good you made and how bad they've treated you. Because see, even when our enemy got saved, we wanted them to come to the full recognition, to come to the full understanding of how mean and how hateful they truly were. And oh my God, they'll eat every bit of it. And how many times have we said that? Are in churches, we are, one day they'll see, bless God. They will see what they have done. And they'll eat the very words that they put out there. Well, that shouldn't be our heart. Our heart that they should get saved. That doesn't even matter anymore. All the old is dead, and we recognize them the same as God recognizes them. That the old has passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. You may have been enemies with me in the past, but you have been made new. You are no longer my enemy, but you are my brother. You are my sister. You are my family. We stand one together, and we serve not only the body of Christ, but we serve each other, and we show the love of God to the world. Not using our status to rise ourselves above them, but but using our status to serve them. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for an opportunity.